So let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is good. And God, we pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to what we're going to experience this morning, Lord. We pray that you would just help us and anoint us with your Holy Spirit. That God, if we don't know you, we know you when we walked out. And if we knew you, we know you better when we walk out of here. God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for what's already been prepared in our hearts through the music and worship. And God, we look forward to what you're going to do in and through this word. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have a seat. So there is something. Let's see if I can get this started. I actually forgot to start this at the Glen Allen camp. There we go. It's going now. So I realized that after I was, I think, maybe like 7 or 8 minutes in. So I actually bought myself some time, but I won't do that to you guys. I have started it. Don't worry. I will not keep you here longer than you need to be. But there's something that I know about every person in this room. And no, I haven't been sitting in your living room, so don't worry. But there's something that I know about every person in this room, and that is this, that every person wants to live a life of meaning. That every person on the face of the planet, not only in this room, but on the face of this planet, wants to have a life that means something. A life that produces good stuff, that's productive. And we strive for a life of produce. Now, I know that sounds really funny, and we're going to get in that in just a moment. But what is a life of produce? What is that? In Christian life, we call that kind of produce the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit. The fruits is a result of what the Holy Spirit does inside of us, what he influences inside of us, and what that does is produce fruit that God wants us to have in our lives. So here's the deal, is God is responsible for what he gives you, but you are responsible for what you do with it. Does that make sense? God will give you something, but it's our responsibility to take that gift, that thing that he has given us, and live it out in our lives. And so many times we call the use of something, we call that a big word, church word, is stewardship, right? We steward what it is that God has given us. We use it in a way that brings honor and glory to him. So let me ask you just a couple rhetorical questions. You can write these down. Don't answer them out loud. But what do you want for your life? What is it that you want for your life? What do you want to accomplish with your life? I hope that you want to have a life of produce, because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, but I hope you want that. I hope you want a life that is filled with the produce of what God wants for you. Amen? And here's the thing is, if we have a produce life that is filled with produce life, then how does God measure that for us, right? That's the obvious question, is how is that measured? Well, I think it's measured in a verse, and it's found in John 15, verse 8. And it says, when you become fruitful disciples of mine, my Father will be honored. This verse gives us two keys on how God measures this. Number one, a fruit-filled life shows you are a follower of Christ. And don't worry, this is not in the notes, so don't get freaked out on me up there. It's not point number one. So this is just a sub-point. So if we have a fruit-filled life, it shows that we are a follower of Christ. That's what the verse says, right? That if we are following Christ, if we are doing what Christ wants to do, and we are producing the fruit that God wants us to produce, then that shows that we're a follower of Christ, right? That's the first point in that verse. The second point is, a fruit-filled life brings honor to God. In other words, when God produces this fruit inside of us, and it starts to bloom, and it starts to show itself, then that brings honor to God. It tells God that I honor you with the gift or the thing that you've given me, which is being produced inside of me, and the fruit comes out. That is saying I'm honoring you for what you have produced inside of me, God. Does that make sense? So the obvious question now is, what's that produce? What is the produce? What is the fruit? And it's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God is saying to us that a life filled with the Holy Spirit should be producing these things in our life, right? It's not enough just to say that we know God. It's not enough just to accept Christ. It's not enough just to live a good life. What God is saying is, I have planted something inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you and dwell inside of you, and it's going to produce this fruit. So God is saying, what are you doing with that fruit? And so here's how God measures your fruit producing. You ready for this? Are other people noticing? Yeah. I'm not sure that was a good, I appreciate it, but I'm not sure that that was a good, yeah, okay, yes. So I'm going to tell you a story. This is not to pat Pastor Kevin on the back, okay? I promise you that is not what this is about. I am giving you an example of what this might look like in your own life, okay? Good? Because I've got a lot of stuff to work on. I don't always produce the fruit the way I should. So I'm preaching to myself as much as I am, but I'm using this as an example of my own personal life. So I've got a good friend that we have known since our kids were in elementary school. His kids are the same age as my kids, and I've known him. And so over the years, I've kind of poured little bits of spirituality things in him. He's a Christian. I do believe that he's a Christian. He's just a wayward Christian. Amen? Everybody, we've all been there, right? And so over time, I just pour a little bit into him. We've had some very deep spiritual conversations. He has a job that is very stressful to him. So he's come into my office, and we've done lunch together, and he just kind of spilt his guts at me, just telling me about how stressed out he is and all this other stuff. And one day he said, you know what? My life is different because of you. And I'm like, whoa, okay. What is that supposed to mean? And he says, I've just noticed that my life is more joyful because I've spent time with you. I've noticed that I'm able to handle things a little bit better because I've spent time with you. Right? And things that I have noticed in you is that you don't let things get to you too much, right? Things have happened to you, but you don't let them get to you. You know what he's noticing in me is the fruits of the Spirit. The key to understanding fruits of the Spirit is, are other people noticing it in you? Because here's the deal. If people are not recognizing the fruits of the Spirit in your life, that means you're not producing it. They should recognize it. They should grab a hold of it. When you're spilling little nuggets of truth and spirituality into their lives, they should recognize that there's something a little bit different about you that influences them. The fruits of the Spirit are not for you to enjoy. It's for the world to enjoy. Amen? Do you understand? The more love that you show, the more love they will experience. The more joy that you show, the more joy they will experience. The more gentleness that you show, the more gentleness they will experience. So here's the key to understanding if your life is producing the fruit that God wants you to produce. Are other people recognizing it? Do other people see it in your life? So when I do a message, I always like to think, what would I like to hear, right? Does that make sense? I mean, I don't want to preach something that I really don't want to hear because I'm preaching to you, to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. So I got to thinking, well, I could go through each one of the fruits of the Spirit and we could be here the rest of the afternoon and we could go through that. But I didn't think anybody really wanted to do that. But I think that if I was to walk around the room and say, what is love? What is gentleness to you? What is joy? I think all of us could come up with a pretty good definition of each one of those, right? So I started thinking, what would I want to know? What I would want to know is, how do I get those? What does the Holy Spirit do inside of me to produce the fruit that God wants me to produce? So that's kind of where we're going. So if you don't want to hear that, I'm sorry, that's all I got. So that's the way we're going with this. Just, you know, look at me every now and again if this isn't what you want to hear and just nod your head and let me know that, hey, it's good. It's just not what I want to hear, okay? All right, so here we go. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does inside of us is the Holy Spirit helps us to develop roots. The Holy Spirit helps us to develop roots. If we want to have a fruit-filled life, we have to have roots. I don't know of a single plant on the face of the planet that doesn't have roots. So you have to have roots. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, it says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like trees planted by the water that send out its what? Roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear what? Fruit." What the word is telling us today is that you cannot bear the fruit that God wants you to produce without good roots. Amen? You cannot produce, it can't be produced inside of you without good roots. Notice that God is saying to us, the key, the starting point, the beginning point of growing fruit in our lives is having a good root system. Amen? And if we follow the Holy Spirit's guidance and get rooted in Him, and get rooted into God's word, and get rooted into prayer, and get rooted into the church, and get rooted into a community group, and get rooted into the things that matter to God, then guess what our life is going to produce? Fruit. But if you are not willing, if you are not willing to do the things that God is asking us to do, to be involved in, to dig deep into, then guess what? You're not going to produce the fruit that He wants you to produce. And others are not going to notice it. You aren't going to lead anybody towards Him because your life is not rooted in Him. You have to have roots. Now, pardon me for a moment because I've got two examples of this and I'm using trees as an example. It is roots, so bear with me. You can kind of figure out where I'm going with this, right? So in California, there are these giant redwood sequoia trees, right? I want to go out and see them. They're so big that they actually have cut parts of them out and drive through them. That's how big these suckers are, right? And so I started reading about them, and they grow to hundreds of feet tall, and they can grow for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, some of these trees are, you know, really old, right? I know you're thinking, you're really old, Pastor Kevin. They're older than I am, okay? So, yeah, because I use notes. I don't use the telephone. Sorry for my notes. Where is she? There she is, yeah. I used actual paper for my notes, so I am really old. I'm a dinosaur, right? But what as I was reading about this, it's really hard to kill these trees. The biggest threat to these trees are, bingo, forest fires, because, you know, that's what California imports and exports is forest fires, I guess. Anyway, sorry, if you're from California, I apologize. That was a bad joke. But anyway, so these trees can get burnt, like bad. And they will self-heal, continue to grow, and continue to live for hundreds of years. And so I got to thinking, logic would say, right, that a tree that big must have really deep roots to keep it up, right? That's logic tells you that, right? We've taken some science classes, so we kind of know that's how it works, right? They don't. They're extremely shallow. So I was like, what keeps these giant trees up? When the wind blows, what keeps them from doing this? Now watch. It's so cool. God is so good. This is such a great example of what the church is. So the roots go down some, yes, but then they go out and they begin to intertwine with the trees that are around them in the forest. Not only other redwoods, but other trees. And so what they do is when the wind blows, they support one another. When the fire comes, they support one another. When the drought comes, they support one another. If you are not involved in the church and doing things in the church, when the fire comes, when the drought comes, you are going to be in trouble. You are going to be falling down. You are going to be looking around going, what in the world just happened? God is telling us to be intertwined into each other's lives, so that we can support one another when the drought comes, when the depression comes, when the job loss comes, when the relationship falls apart. God wants us to be intertwined so we can support one another, so that when those things happen, we're good. We're still producing fruit. Now another tree, bear with me, I'm giving you another tree example here, that is nearly indestructible is the banana tree. I'm kind of fascinated by this. You can see I'm a nature dude, right? So I was just reading about this tree, and it's relatively not a super high tree, but it has extremely deep roots, right? And so if you want to kill this tree, it is nearly impossible. Because if you just chop it off and get up the roots that you can see, there's enough roots underground that in less than a year from doing that, you will have another banana tree. Do you see what I'm getting at? If we are not rooted down deep into God's word and down deep into what God wants for us and down deep into the things that matter, and we're expanding out at the same time, we're going to be in trouble. You want to know why the cross is shaped the way that it is? Because we have a relationship with Christ. That's our deep roots. And then we have a relationship with other people. That's outstretching, right? So that we can have the support and we can have the depth that we need in order to get through this life. And if you do not have a good root system, if that structure is not what it should be and needs to be, then you are not going to produce the fruit in your life that God wants you to produce. Let me give you a couple of examples here. The Bible tells us in chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 3, it says, if you live right, you will be secure as a tree with deep roots. God uses a lot of nature in his word to explain things to us. You got to have a good root system. God is asking us to get into his word, to grow deep and wide. All right, remember a song when I was a kid in Sunday school? It was deep and wide, right? Remember that song? I don't remember everything else, but I remember the deep and wide. And I finally got it when I was reading this and preparing for this message. Oh, yeah, he's talking about roots. I didn't know that when I was 5 years old, but I get it now. God is telling us, go down deep and go out wide. So that when the storms of life come, when the depression comes, when the job loss comes, when the relationship is at the end and you're not sure what's going to happen, you've got some fruit still coming out. It starts with having a good root system. Let me just give you two quick verses to encourage us this morning. Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 says, instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. That's talking about God's word. We think about it day and night, okay? They are like trees growing beside a stream that produces fruit in season and always has leaves. Those people succeed in everything that they do. Now notice, it says, if you are consistently in God's word, there's a promise attached to that verse. Did you hear the promise? It says you'll be successful in some things, right? No. It says you will be successful in everything, all things. So God is telling us today that if we stay connected to him, if we dig down deep with roots, then we are going to be successful. I don't know about you, but I want to be successful in my life. I want to have some productivity that means something in my life. And so God is telling us right now, today, that if we stay in his word, if we stay in his word and we think about it day and night and we do the things that God wants us to do and we put it into our hearts and our roots grow deep and they grow out, then guess what? We will be successful. If that doesn't encourage you this morning, I don't know what more I can read to you that's going to encourage you. So just, you know, we'll talk after the service if that didn't encourage you. But Colossians, here's another one. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, it says, you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following him. Plant your roots in Christ and let him be the what? Foundation for your life. Be strong in your faith just as you were taught. In other words, be strong in that thing that God has given you, that faith that God has given you, so that you can produce the things that God wants you to produce in your life, so that you can have more love, so that you can have more joy. If you're angry all the time, then it's probably because your roots aren't deep enough to understand God's love and joy for you. Dig down deep. Discover the fruits of the Spirit so that you can live those out in your own life. Amen? So that's the first thing. Grow some roots. The second thing, the Holy Spirit helps us eliminate the weeds. The Holy Spirit helps us eliminate the weeds. If we're going to produce fruit and have roots, we have to eliminate the weeds. Amen? And Jesus illustrates this perfectly with the story, the parable of the sower and the seeds. In fact, this parable is so important, it's told in all four Gospels, so it must be pretty important for us to remember and apply, right? And really, if we boil this down, it's really talking about four types of heart conditions. There's a hard heart, there's the impulsive heart, there's the crowded heart, and there's the good heart, right? So the Word of God is the seed. The seed falls amongst these different types of soil, and one of these soils, it says, it falls amongst the weeds. It stands for a while, but then the weeds choke it out. So when the worries of the world come in, it will choke you out. When the depression comes in, it'll choke you out. When the anxiety comes in, it will choke you out. When the job loss comes in, it's going to choke you out. You understand what I'm saying? When the bad relationship gets introduced into your life, it's going to choke you out. What God is saying is that we have to be willing to pluck some weeds from time to time. We have to be willing to get rid of the materialism. We got to be willing to remove the fear. We got to be willing to remove the person that is leading you down the wrong path. Ouch. Do you know that there are people in your life that will lead you down the wrong path that you need to pluck out of your life? You say, oh, Pastor Kevin, they're so great. I love having time with them. They're so much fun. Yeah, but if they're causing you to be more addicted, if they're causing you to walk down a path that you shouldn't walk past, then guess what? You should pluck them out of your life. There are better friends than those friends. Trust me. And so here's what I think some of you need to do. This is going to be pretty harsh. Some of you need to go down to the spiritual lows and get you some spiritual Roundup and start spraying some weeds in your life. You understand what I'm saying? We got to spray the weeds that are in our life. We have to be willing. Here's what I know about weeds. And I hate weeds. Ask my family. I just despise weeds. Oh, gosh, they get on my nerves. So we have flower beds all around our house. And what I have discovered is if I don't pick those weeds about every other week, I'm going to have a weed bed instead of a flower bed. That's way. Here's what you need to know. A weed is a lot easier and grows faster than the good stuff. And if you allow that weed to stay in your life and fester, it's going to take over the flower bed. It's going to take over the produce. And before you know it, you aren't going to produce anything but weeds because it's going to choke everything else out. We have to be willing to allow God to come in and start picking out some of the things that don't matter in our lives. He's got to pick out the worry, and he's got to pick out the fear, and he's got to pick out that bad relationship, and he's got to pick out those other things that keep us from producing the fruit that he wants us to produce. And if you aren't willing to allow him to do that, the weeds are going to take over your life. And it's going to choke everything else out that you try to do. The Holy Spirit can't grow fruit when weeds are choking you out. Some of you got some pretty big weeds in your life. And maybe they need some plucking, but maybe they need a little bit of spray of that Roundup to make sure that they're dead and gone. Because here's what I know. If you allow the weeds to stay in, they will take over. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and allow you to pick out those things that God wants out of your life so God can put in the things that he wants for your life. Amen? Third thing that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit helps us cooperate with God's pruning. This one's going to hurt a little bit. So in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, the Bible tells us this: I am the vine and the Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. That's okay, we're okay with that, right? But listen to what the next sentence says. But he trims clear every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce even more. What is pruning? Pruning is taking actually what is dead and pruning that out, but it's also cutting back some of what is good so something better can come. Amen? So here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is going to produce fruit in you, and you're going to have to cooperate with God's pruning so that he can do that on a regular basis so that you can have the fruit that God wants you to have. We had some roses in the front of our house. They were called knockout roses. And they're beautiful, right? They grow all summer. They love the heat. They don't need a lot of water. And that's great for Virginia weather. Everybody said amen to that, right? So these rose bushes, each year they get a little bit bigger, right? So the first year they were probably about 3 feet tall. And so my wife and I read about what do we do with these things, right? We know we have to prune some other things. We have to cut other things back and all that stuff. We have no idea what to do with these rose bushes. So my wife reads the article. She comes to me and she goes, hey, we're going to have to cut these things down to 18 inches. I'm like, I think you read the wrong article. That makes no sense, right? If I'm going to cut that back, I'm not only cutting the dead stuff, the junk, but I'm also cutting back the good stuff, and it's going to be this high. It's going to go from here to here. That makes no sense to me. It makes no logical sense, right? I say, okay, we'll do it. We paid some money for this stuff. We planted them. We want them to grow, but I'll listen to you. And so we do that, right? And then the next year, they're about 4 feet tall. They're about 4 feet wide, and they have way more blooms on them. God needs to cut the bad stuff out, and sometimes he's going to have to cut the good stuff out to give you something better. God wants to cut out some of the bad stuff, yes. But he also wants to cut out some good stuff. The problem that we have in our lives is we are too timid to let God really pluck back what needs to be plucked back, aren't we? We go, well, God, you know what? This relationship, it's so good, God. She's so sweet. He's so sweet. It's my life. It's my life. God's saying, yeah, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But I got something better over here. Have you ever lost your job and you go, God, what in the world? And then God gives you a better job? Have you ever had something in your life that was good? Wasn't bad. It was good. And you go, well, I kind of like it. I've gotten used to it. I've gotten into a rhythm with it. And God says, no, I want to take that out because I got something over here that's even better. When God prunes us, it might hurt, yes. It might cause a little bit of pain. But what he is doing is he's preparing you for something better. I don't know about you, but I don't want to settle for good. I want best. And sometimes that's hard to turn that over to God. Sometimes it's hard to say, God, okay, I'm good with that. Just go ahead and prune that away, and I'm okay with it. No, sometimes it's going to hurt. It's going to cause some pain. But what's great about that hurt and that pain is it develops something inside of us, and it helps us to understand that God's ways are so much better than our ways, that God wants to lead us to success. God wants to lead us to productivity. God wants to lead us to the absolute best thing in our lives that we could ever imagine or hope for. But I know what some of you are thinking. You start to question God, don't you, in that pruning stuff. You go, God, why are you doing this? It hurts. I don't want this. And we start to confuse punishment for pruning. Don't ever confuse punishment for pruning. They are two completely different things. Listen to this. Punishment is for your past. Pruning is for your future. Punishment is for your past. And guess what? Jesus Christ already paid for all of that. Jesus Christ has already taken care of all of that. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is allow God to prune you so that you can get to the better that he has for you. God is not punishing you, he's preparing you. God is not punishing you, he is giving you something that is better. God wants nothing but the best for you, and his pruning makes room for the good fruit. His pruning makes room for the good stuff. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what maybe you've done in the past. It doesn't matter about all that. God is just trying to prepare you for something better in your future. God wants his absolute best for you. And when we get pruned, yes, it might hurt. When we get pruned, it might cause some frustration. When we get pruned, it might cause some confusion. But it's going to lead to understanding, and it's going to lead to something better. Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In other words, God is saying, my pruning is preparing you for your future. My pruning is going to help you to develop the fruits that I want you to produce in your life. Let me prune. Let me do the things in your life that I need to so that I can give you everything that I want to. God wants to prune your life, but we have to be willing to let him, and that's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. And here's what I know, is that the more fruit we produce, the deeper our roots are, right? And the more fruit we produce, then we recognize the weeds, and we also recognize when we need to be pruned. The more fruit, the more good fruit, the more blessed fruit, the more fruit that we have, it allows us to recognize those things that need to be fixed so we can have better. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. So we can sit there and be fearful of it. We say, oh no, we got to prune. Or we can allow the Holy Spirit to do something inside of us that allows us to understand when God needs to do it. Amen? Does it make it any easier? I'm not saying that at all. But it does prepare us. It does allow us to see that God is doing something inside of us that is going to make us better. Amen? And the band can come on back up. This is the last point, is the Holy Spirit helps us wait for the harvest. The Holy Spirit helps us wait for the harvest. Growing fruit takes time, right? I mean, you don't get a seed and go out and plant it in the good soil outside your house, and the next morning you wake up and it's a nice big tree with red, juicy apples on it. This doesn't happen unless you're Jack and the Beanstalk. That's not going to happen, right? So it takes time. And it takes time because God is preparing us for the experience. God's preparing us for the fruit that it's going to produce. But we have to be willing to wait. And in John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is Jesus talking, he says, "unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it." In other words, what God is saying and what a seed does is a seed literally, when it drops into the ground and it begins to grow, that seed dies, but life comes out of it. The seed dies, but life comes out of it. And when that life comes out of it, it takes some watering, it takes some cultivating, it takes some action in order to allow that plant to grow. What God is telling us today is that your life represents that seed. And we have to be willing to die to our old self so that the new stuff can begin to grow. We have to be willing to put aside our own desires and our own stuff and be willing to follow God. And what he does is he takes that seed that is planted inside of us, allows it to die so that he can sprout out something new and great in your life. The Holy Spirit prepares us for that death and that new life. Jesus said in John chapter 15, 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. You remain in me, connected to me, beside me. Let me put my arm around you and you stay with me. Then you will bear fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When we're growing, when that seed is dying and the new growth is coming out, we've got to be walking with Jesus. We've got to be willing to join our life with him so that he can sprout the fruit that he wants to sprout in your life. I read a story this week about a 600-year-old seed. You may be thinking, how did they know that it was 600 years old, right? So I'm going to tell you. So the scientists were digging and they found an old Indian corpse. And of course, by carbon dating and all the stuff that they do to figure out how old it is, they found out that it was 600 plus years old. Well, around the neck of this corpse was a necklace, and inside that necklace it had seeds. And of course, scientists being scientists were like, let's see what it is, right? So they plant it in good soil, they water it, they take care of it. And you want to know what happens? Growth. Growth. 600 years old, that seed had been sitting there dormant and dry. They put it in the ground, they put a little bit of water on it, and it goes, boom, growth. Maybe you're in here this morning, and God planted a seed inside of you. Maybe it was a long time ago, and you've just kind of gone your own way. Can I tell you that God can take that seed and boom, it will begin to grow and fruit will begin to be produced. Maybe you walked in here this morning and you go, man, I have no idea about what you're talking about. I don't even know who Jesus is, but I know that I want my life to be mean something. I know my life, I want my life to produce the fruit that you're talking about. I need to know who Jesus Christ is. That is Jesus planting the seed in your life. All you got to do is accept it and boom, watch what happens. God wants to cultivate something great in your life. And what he wants to cultivate in your life is going to be different in mine. And that's okay. That's why the world is such a great place to live in, because we're all different. We all have different aspirations and passions, but God is the same in all of us. He wants to produce something inside of us. God wants that seed, that old you, to die so that he can bring up something new.